The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 19, Text Number 37, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on December 23rd, 2009, in Sydney, Australia.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 19, King Prithu's 100 Horse Sacrifices, Text Number 37. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Bhavan. Bhavan paritratum mihavatirno. Dharmang jananam samayana rupam. Venapacharad avalupta majya. Tadehato Vishnu kalasi vainya. Bhavan paritratum mihavatirno. Dhamang jananam samayanu rupam. Venapacharad avalupta majya. Tadehato Vishnu kalasi vainya. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O King Prithu, son of Vena, you are part and parcel, you are the part and parcel expansion of Lord Vishnu. Due to the mischievous activities of King Vena, religious principles were almost lost. At that opportune moment, you descended as the incarnation of Lord Vishnu. Indeed, for the protection of religious principles, you have appeared from the body of King Vena. The way in which Lord Vishnu kills the demons and protects the faithful is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita 4:8. Paritranaya sadhunang vinashayo chuduskritam dharma sangstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. In order to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I advent myself millennium after millennium. In two hands, Lord Vishnu always carries a club and a chakra to kill demons. And in his other two hands, he holds a conch shell and a lotus to give protection to his devotees. When his incarnation is present on this planet or in this universe, the Lord kills the demons and protects his devotees simultaneously. Sometimes Lord Vishnu appears in his person as Lord Krishna or Lord Ram. All of these appearances are mentioned in the Shastras. Sometimes he appears as a Shaktivesh avatar like Lord Buddha. As we explained before, these Shaktivesh avatars are incarnations of Vishnu's power invested in a living entity. Living entities are also part and parcel of Lord Vishnu, but they are not as powerful. Therefore, when a living entity ascends as an incarnation of Vishnu, he is especially empowered by the Lord. When King Prithu is described as an incarnation of Lord Vishnu, it should be understood that he is a Shaktivesh avatar, part and parcel of Lord Vishnu, and is specifically empowered by him. Any living being acting as the incarnation of Lord Vishnu is thus empowered by Lord Vishnu to preach the bhakti cult. Such a person can act like Lord Vishnu and defeat demons by arguments and preach the bhakti cult exactly according to the principles of Shastra. As indicated in the Bhagavad Gita, whenever we find someone extraordinary preaching the bhakti cult we should know that he is especially empowered by Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna, as confirmed in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ansha 7:11. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahe Tara Pravartana. One cannot explain the glories of the holy name of the Lord without being specifically empowered by him. If one criticizes or finds fault with such an empowered personality, one is to be considered an offender against Lord Vishnu and is punishable. Even though such offenders may dress as Vaishnava with false tilak and mala, they are never forgiven by the Lord if they offend a pure Vaishnava. There are many instances of this in the Shastras. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha. There are so many bogus gurus. They make some word jugglery and they fool the people. That, oh, here's a great spiritual master. Or they develop some yogic siddhis. They can do some magical feats. They can levitate for a couple of feet off the ground, or they can make some ashes come out of their photographs. But they cannot spread this bhakti cult. Unless one is empowered by Krishna, it is not possible to spread Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Where have we seen such an acharya empowered as Srila Prabhupada? The topmost empowered acharya for spreading this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. There have been so many editions of Bhagavad Gita before Bhagavad Gita as it is. How many devotees were produced by all these other Gitas? In the USA, there was some famous philosophers called the Transcendentalists, Emerson, Thoreau. They had a whole school of philosophy going on in New England. They were studying Bhagavad Gita. Thoreau was actually very impressed. He said, "In the morning I bathe my intellect in these stupendous and cosmogonal philosophy of the Gita in comparison with which the modern day world and its literature seem puny and trivial." He had so much appreciation. But did he come as a devotee? Did he become a devotee? No. It takes an empowered acharya to create devotees. You cannot manufacture bhakti shakti. Bhakti shakti is a gift that one receives from someone who has bhakti shakti. It is actually all the shakti of Krishna, Krishna shakti. Those who purely pass on that shakti, you see, they are given the shakti. They don't add something to it, they don't subtract anything from it. They keep it exactly as it is. As Krishna spoke it to Arjuna, they keep it exactly as it is. So that is the great potency of our Krishna consciousness movement. That it is a pure manifestation of the teachings of Krishna. We should not think that we have to change our message to adapt it to the modern world. That the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam is not confirmed by the scientists, so how can we take it as literal, for example? Many devotees have doubts. How is it possible that this is outer space? What is described in the fifth canto? The scientists don't confirm it. So we are doubtful. You see? We have to have faith in our acharyas. What is coming down from our acharyas? We have to have faith. These scientists are never sticking on the same point. They are constantly changing their version of reality. The Bhagavad version of reality has remained the same. It has never changed. So that should tell us something. I one time attended a seminar at the University of Florida, attended by all of these science students. One big professor came from some place in California. He came to give presentation on the black holes in outer space. Of course, I know where the real black holes are. They're in the brains of the scientists. But anyway, that's another matter. He gave his presentation. And then he opened it up for questions, just like we have, you know, we do in our classes. We give presentation and we say, okay, are there any questions? So he opened it up for questions. And I was sitting there in my brahmachari saffron with my shaved head and my big tilak on the forehead. And I looked a little different from the other, from all the science students. But I asked him, is what you're saying, is this a theory or is it a fact? And he said, I think, note the word I think. He said, I think it is a fact. So, okay, so a few more questions came in. Again, I got my hand up, I got recognized. I said, throughout the history of modern science, we have seen that one theory comes into popularity for some time and until it is defeated by another theory. So how do we know that your... No, I said... It's called a loaded question. How do we know that your theory will not be replaced by another theory? He had just said it was a fact and not a theory, but I'm contradicting him in the way I asked the question. And he took the he took the loaded question. So he accepted, actually, indirectly, that it was a theory. He said, I said, well, how do we know that your theory will not be replaced by another theory? Because that's the way science goes, you see. And he said, I hope it is. Because then we will be making progress. So just see the rascal. He's saying it is fact. And he's acknowledging actually it will be disproven when science progresses further. It will be shown to be untrue. And they call this science. And there was 3,000 students there, you know, gawking and gaping over every word, you know. Oh, yes, oh, yes. Black holes in outer space. So, why should we put our faith in such cheaters? Just because they can give us some technological gadgets, you see? No. We should put our faith in those who are empowered to spread bhakti all over the world. That's where we should put it. What amazing thing Srila Prabhupada did. He came to a place where there was no Krishna bhakti. Absolutely none. The US, Australia, so many countries all over the world, and out of nothing he created a Krishna consciousness movement. Now other people come along after Prabhupada, they steal devotees from ISKCON and they say, just see, I am world acharya, I've made disciples all over the world. That is not empowered to spread bhakti all over the world. Using, you know, right? Take stealing this followers, Prabhupada's followers and claiming that now I am a world acharya. Krishna Shakti Vini Nahitarya Pravartana. I have spread Krishna consciousness movement all over the world by stealing ISKCON devotees. Now we're not talking, but that is not the acharya, sort of acharya we're speaking of here. We are speaking of someone who has the power to go in a place where there is no Krishna bhakti. Africa, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, US, Canada, so many countries all over the world, there was no pure Krishna bhakti. And to establish pure Krishna bhakti movement, you see, that is an acharya. That is a Shaktivesh avatar. You see, Prabhupada also is Shaktivesh avatar. He is a jiva, but he's not ordinary jiva. He is empowered with the Shakti of Krishna Shakti, for transforming this planet, for transforming the course of human history. So our position as followers of Prabhupada is the most fortunate position. That we can share that mercy that we are getting from Prabhupada and from the followers of Prabhupada, who are giving us Prabhupada's mercy also. We can take this mercy and we can share it. There, Prabhupada has so much mercy, he has so much bhakti shakti, that every single man, woman, and child on the face of this planet can become blessed with Krishna consciousness, pure Krishna consciousness. So, what greater moment in history than now? The whole world is desperately needing Krishna consciousness, pure Krishna bhakti. And we have it. Prabhupada has given it to us. It's here. Here is pure Krishna bhakti. Enjoy it, relish it, and share it, you see. The greatest blessing we have received now from Prabhupada. So if we take advantage of this mercy we have gotten and share it, lovingly share it with the suffering souls of this planet, then that Krishna Shakti, we will also become empowered, you see. Prabhupada will empower us also. He will give us, he will share his empowerment that we can also become empowered for spreading this movement all over the world. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
Is that much spread Krishna consciousness in time, place, and circumstance, right?
Yes.
But if the message is absolute, what does it need to change?
Yeah. So the question is, if it's absolute, then why it has to be adjusted for time, place, and circumstance? Actually, the message is not changed, but the way it is delivered. That is adjustable. In other words, every audience that one, whether you're speaking to one person or a group of people, every audience, according to that particular time and place and circumstance, has a certain mindset. So the expert preacher, he picks up on the vibes. He engages the mindset of his audience and presents that one absolute truth in such a way that will capture their hearts, capture their mind, you see. He's attuned to what's going on around him. And he adjusts the way in which he presents the absolute truth to make it attractive in that particular circumstance, to make it most attractive in that particular circumstance. Does that make sense to you? Yeah. In fact, it's described that this is why the message gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter, because the acharyas are flexible to make it attractive to that particular audience. That's why it's compared to the parrot breaking the cutting the skin of the mango with his beak and enhancing the sweetness of the mango. It's described by Prabhupada that in this way, the message becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter because it's constantly being adapted for this situation and that situation. So this adaptation is simply, it's not that it's changed, it's enhanced. It's described that by this adjusting to time and circumstances, it becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. In one case, it was spoken by Shukadeva to Parikshit. And then Sutta Goswami is speaking it to the sages of Namasharanya. And then Prabhupada is giving it to us through his purports. And then now the ISKCON devotees, they're giving their classes on the Bhagavatam. So in this way, it's just more and more the ocean of the nectarian ocean of Bhagavatam just increases and increases. It's flooding the banks. It's just increasing. The more that the devotees go on churning this ocean of Bhagavatam, the more nectar comes out. It's like that. Any other questions? Yes.
I'm initiated by another guru besides Prabhupada, but we still consider Prabhupada the best.
Actually, every acharya in our line is the best, but especially Prabhupada is the best. Well, let's say I'm a grand disciple of Prabhupada. Actually, everyone should see their own spiritual master as the best. There's nothing harm. I want you to think my guru is the best. He's representing Prabhupada's mercy the best because he accepted a rascal like me. He must be the most merciful. I'm such a rascal and he accepted me as a disciple. He must be the most merciful of all of Prabhupada's disciples because he accepted this rascal, you see. That way we should feel about our own spiritual master. All the Prabhupada disciples are kind, but mine is even more kind than they are because he's the one who accepted me as his disciple, took in my karma, etc. Actually, it's described, guru is one, but the persons may be many. So actually, we respect all the acharyas, our own guru, his spiritual master, his spirit, all the acharyas are worshipable. It's actually not proper to think, well, superior, inferior, no. We worship, these are Krishna's manifestations, you see. And we worship all of them. But Prabhupada is in a very, very special position. There will be many acharyas in ISKCON. Actually, Prabhupada ordered that we should have, or predicted actually, both things. He predicted that in ISKCON we would have 10 million acharyas. You see, these Ritvik people say only one acharya, Prabhupada. But Prabhupada told us in Mayapur, he said, now we are 10,000, then we will become 100,000, then 1 million, and then 10 million, there will be no scarcity of acharyas. So actually, producing acharyas, that is our family business. ISKCON is an institution for training people to become acharyas. That's a problem. 10 million acharyas. But Prabhupada always has a very unique position. You see, he's the founder acharya. He's the one and the only founder acharya. He's just like the word foundation. You see, Prabhupada is the foundation of these acharyas. They are depending on Prabhupada to become. One cannot become an acharya unless one is purely representing Prabhupada, you see. So Prabhupada is always the standard by which we judge. Is this person a bona fide spiritual master? Is he none? Is he following Prabhupada? Is he preaching with Prabhupada? Prabhupada is always the standard, you see. It's through Srila Prabhupada we understand everything. So he's a very unique position. None of us disciples of Prabhupada who are taking disciples, we are not in that position, you see. Prabhupada is always the standard by which we judge who is a bona fide spiritual master, who is not, who is a bona fide Vaishnava, who is not, etc. Any other questions?
What's the difference between Swami and Goswami? What is the difference between Swami and Goswami?
Yeah. Actually, they are synonymous terms. Swami means master, and Goswami means master of the senses. So, Swami implies master of the senses. Prabhupada gave the Swami title to men who had been brahmacharis and who went straight from brahmacharya ashram to sannyasa ashram. He gave the title Goswami. Actually, the first one that got the title was Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Prabhupada said, I have named him Goswami because he was the first one to renounce anything. He had a GBC position he gave up, and he had a very nice wife also. He gave up a very nice devoted wife to take sannyas. So Prabhupada, that became the system that those who were householders, they were given and became sannyasis, they were given the title Goswami, and those who were brahmacharis and became sannyasis, they were given the title Swami. That became, I don't know if that's still going on, that convention, but that was the system when Prabhupada was physically present. But it's the same meaning. It's not that if you're a Goswami, you're more advanced than a Swami, or you're a Swami, you're more advanced than a Goswami. They're a synonymous term. They have the same meaning. A Swami means he is a Goswami. Same thing. Any other questions? Yeah.
Okay. No, it's not about the guru so much. Sometimes we follow, we've got to have our program, we've got to follow our sadhana or our service or whatever, and sometimes I feel like it's a bit overwhelming, it's a bit too much, I'm not feeling strong some days, and I get a bit depressed and I drop something, you know, I give up on the chant that day or something like that. So...
So what is the question? I understand the difficulty. But what is the question?
I just become a bit overwhelmed sometimes. So what's like...
What, you want to know what to do when you become overwhelmed?
Yeah, and is that like considered a fall down? I'm not necessarily breaking the principles, but like, you know, maybe stop chanting one day or...
Well, the first thing is you have to make sure you're covering the vows you took at initiation. At least 16 rounds in the four principles. You have to absolutely cover them. If there's some extremely extenuating circumstance, you could make up your rounds the next day, but not that you just forget about them. But if you can maintain those principles of chanting your 16 rounds and following the four principles, then you're protected because you're honoring the vow you took at the time of initiation. If you're having difficulty with your service, you're not getting enough time to sleep. You can't get the service done. You're so overwhelmed with service. Then you need to talk to your temple authority. Explain what's going on. Tell him, Prabhu, I'm having difficulty. I want to do this service. I'm very happy to serve Prabhupada's mission, but I'm having difficulty, a physical difficulty, to find enough time to do the service and be able to sleep also, to have enough rest to be able to continue doing this. You should tell your authority if you're having difficulty. And then surely he will help you. And that's his duty, to see that all the devotees under his charge are properly situated. So I would, that's your first avenues. And if that's not working out, then you should contact someone else, like your GBC or your spiritual master. But it should be, if you honestly are trying your best and having difficulty, and you approach the temple authority, then things should work out okay there. Anything else? Okay. Thank you all very much. Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.